Just so you know, this show is about scary stuff. So don't say I didn't warn you guys. And remember, don't be scared.
Episode 131, 40 Years. War Baby here with another episode of Murderous Minors. DNA is a reliable method by which to solve cases and has led directly to the arrests of perpetrators who most thought would never be caught. It's also been used to prove the innocence of convicted individuals by pointing directly to someone else. This week on Murderous Minors, we look at the January 1976 murder of 15-year-old Janet Commons in Flint in the north of Wales, UK. Following a nearly month-long search for the killer, two members of a traveling caravan community were arrested for Janet's murder, 18-year-old Noel Jones and a 20-year-old friend. In July 2017, Jones testified at Mold Crown Court about his arrest 41 years earlier, saying that he felt he was arrested because he lived as a, quote, gypsy back then and couldn't read or write. Describing his arrest that took place as he exited a pub, he recalled how, quote, I didn't know what was happening to me. I happened to fit the bill. I was like a scapegoat. That's what it felt like. Jones said that police acted like they knew they had the right guy and that he was interrogated, quote, until they got what they wanted, alleging that he was merely, quote, agreeing to whatever they wanted me to say. I was just lost. I didn't know what was going on. Everything was going so fast and they were just saying to me, you done it, you done it, you done it. It seemed like forever. One of his signed statements from the time of his arrest was read aloud, and Jones said that his previous admission was, quote, 100% not true. I did not know this person, and I would not commit this crime. I had no reason to commit this crime. I had a girlfriend at the time, and we were happy together. I had plenty of friends. I had no reason to do this. But back in February 1976, he seemed like he was Janet's killer, especially after he confessed to police. When 15-year-old Janet Commons came home from school on Wednesday, January 7th, 1976, she asked her parents if she could go swimming with friends, but they thought she looked sick, so they told her it'd be best if she stayed home. Instead, however, she reportedly snuck out to presumably join her friends, leaving a note in her room that said she would be home by 8:30 p.m. But Janet never came home. A friend said that she'd left the swimming pool and headed back at 7:30 p.m., and a different witness said that he'd seen Janet walking and laughing with two boys around 8:10 p.m. Her father began looking for her around 10 p.m. and roughly 1 hour later, he alerted police and a search of the area commenced. Police eventually determined that Janet had been walking away from the direction of her home on King Edward Drive and down Albert Avenue when she was brutally attacked. Janet wasn't found for over 4 days until Sunday, January 11th. She had been brutally sexually assaulted and murdered, likely by midnight on the night she went missing, according to the coroner's later estimation. Her body was found by some little girls playing hide-and-seek on a primary school playground roughly 400 yards from the Commons home. She was fully clothed but wearing no shoes, however they were found discarded a distance from her body. The coroner soon determined that Janet died by suffocation, likely when her face and neck were continuously, quote, compressed and blocked as she was being sexually assaulted. As far as external wounds, she had suffered a head wound, had bruises underneath her chin and abrasions to her neck. He also concluded that Janet had been left face down for several hours after she was killed and was then dragged to the hedgerow where she was found 4 days later. To add to the mayhem, a second attack in the area took place just hours after Janet's body was found, when a 33-year-old nurse 6 miles away from the playground in Pennyford was assaulted and injured. That attack took place at around 7:30 p.m. on Sunday, January 11th, and the nurse said she had been able to kick her attacker, who was male and seemed to be about 18 years old, prompting him to run away. The local police chief spoke about the discovery of Janet Common's body, saying that it was possible and even likely that she'd been killed elsewhere and her body staged at the fields, as a full and proper search of that area had taken place in the hours and days following the teen's disappearance. Mud taken from her clothing was later found to have come from a nearby spot called Gorsed Circle, lending credence to the theory. While police attempted to link Janet's murder to the attack on the nurse, they asked the public for help in identifying 3 teen boys who'd been seen in the area when Janet had gone missing. They were said to have been in a white car and had reportedly asked some kids for directions, and police said they were looking to rule them out. Investigators kept the case fresh in the press, saying 10 days after Janet was killed that they felt that the killer lived around there and that he was likely nervous. They felt like a family member or friend could be helping him hide out and warned that he was likely to attack again. The huge investigation included 120 officers, door-to-door canvassing, and led to the questioning of a whopping 10,000 individuals, 1,000 of which were Flint High School students like Janet Commons herself. Police learned that just before she was killed, 2 of her friends from school began receiving mysterious and threatening letters. The lead investigator told the press that, quote, 5 anonymous letters have been sent to the girls at Flint High School before and since the murder. We are naturally worried. He said that one letter read, quote, you are next, with details about a meeting spot, but when police staked them out, nothing out of the ordinary was observed. All male residents aged 17 to 22 were made to provide an alibi for the night of the murder, including Stephen Huff, who had just turned 17 on January 12, the day after Janet had been found murdered. The primary school field where Janet's body had been located was visible from Huff's grandmother's home, but he slickly told police that he hadn't been there that night. His wild explanation about his whereabouts seemed too outlandish not to be true. Huff told police that he didn't have anything to do with Janet's murder because he was off committing a different crime elsewhere, siphoning gasoline from cars in town. He was charged and convicted for that crime and made to pay fines, and police looked elsewhere for a suitable suspect. By the end of January 1976, 18-year-old Noel Jones and his 20-year-old friend were arrested, although his friend's charges were later withdrawn. Though Jones initially denied involvement, he signed 2 different detailed yet allegedly false confessions 2 days later. Jones has always maintained that he was illiterate at this time. He went to trial in June 1976, and the lead investigator on Janet's case testified that the teen hadn't been offered an attorney because, quote, there was no requirement in those days for a person to be advised that he could have a solicitor, and because he wanted the murder to be investigated both, quote, properly and thoroughly. Jones's 16-year-old girlfriend later testified that 2 days after Janet was murdered, she and Jones had gotten engaged after knowing each other for 3 years and dating since the previous summer. She also said that Jones had confessed to her and talked about using her as a potential alibi, but that she didn't take him seriously and that he later said he'd been joking. On day 2 of his trial, Jones admitted to manslaughter, meaning that the proceedings stopped there. In the end, he alone was convicted of Janet Common's rape and murder and sentenced to 12 years in prison, though Justice Cantley stated at sentencing that, quote, the girl was killed by you and another man in the course of a bestial sexual attack. No accomplice was ever arrested in connection to Jones's involvement in Janet's murder, though investigators have always maintained belief that more than one perpetrator killed Janet. By mid-April 1982, Noel Jones, then 24, was released from prison in Liverpool, England after serving 5 years and 9 months, less than 50% of his 12-year sentence. Jones would later say that the years he spent in prison for a murder he says he eventually confessed to but didn't actually commit, quote, absolutely destroyed my life. And that's where the story stayed for decades, seemingly solved yet somehow not completely resolved, which was why the case was revisited in the early 2000s. Specifically, in 2003, the North Wales police began to inquire about possible forensic material from the 1976 investigation, resulting in the eventual identification of microscopic slides from Janet's case 3 years later. This is when unidentified DNA stored since 1976 was finally tested and the profile of a potential suspect was compiled. A year after the slides had been found, the completed profile was entered into the National DNA Database. 5 months later, in November 2007, police learned that the DNA wasn't a match to Noel or to his friend that had been arrested but later released. The case went back on the shelf, though, as investigators waited for a hit from the database. But about 8 months later, a retiring officer who had worked on the original investigation asked the chief constable at her retirement meeting to keep looking at the case, sure that a second person had helped Jones commit the crimes. The chief constable assigned an officer to have another look at the Janet Commons murder case, and he began a notebook on the review on August 2, 2008, writing in it, quote, Jones convicted manslaughter, all his actions fit the injuries, so how could a third party be involved in the death? The injury he's referring to is the head wound, which Jones had told his girlfriend that he had inflicted on Janet by hitting her with an empty beer bottle. A few weeks later, the officer wrote in a memo to a superior that, quote, quite a lot of work done on this case in the last 5 years, which had led to the recovery of a partial male DNA profile that did not match Mr. Jones or his friend. This does give rise to concern over who may be involved in this crime. It, of course, does not rule out Mr. Jones or his friend. He ultimately concluded that Janet had been, quote, sexually involved with a third party at some point before or during the commission of the crime, adding that to prove it, they'd, quote, first have to prove the original conviction was in some way unsafe. There does not seem to be much room for two or more offenders that fits in with the physical evidence of the attack and the injuries known. The investigator recommended they continue trying to find a match to the DNA profile and wrote in conclusion that, quote, I suggest a high-level decision should be made on. Do North Wales Police wish to conduct a further review into this matter in light of the current information? If yes to the above, then what would be the objectives, terms of reference of any such review? If no, then obviously we need to be satisfied with where this look at the investigation has left us. It seems that the answer was no, as no further movement took place on the cold case review for almost 2 years. At an unsolved crimes meeting on June 28, 2010, Janet's case was one of the several discussed, with notes indicating that the identification of third-party DNA had been made and that a case review had taken place, quote, to try and convict the second suspect. They discussed the fact that there's been no DNA matches in the database and that the DNA could have come from someone Janet had been with consensually before she was attacked and agreed to come back to the case in the event of a hit to the profile in the database. At no point did any of the second wave of investigators speculate that Noel Jones was innocent, as he'd been released from prison more than 20 years earlier for what police considered to be his part in the crime. They were simply trying to rule out the presence of a second person, as even Jones himself had implicated an additional attacker in his second signed statement. It took an additional 6 years for a hit on the DNA in the database, a total of 10 years after the slides were located. In 2016, Stephen Huff, who had told police in 1976 that he was siphoning gas when Janet was murdered, was arrested at 57 years old for sexually assaulting a 15-year-old girl. He was a military veteran separated from his second wife at the time, who was living 200 miles from Flint in Essex. The DNA sample he was required to give was matched to one of the samples found on Janet's body after she was killed, with billion-to-one odds that the semen belonged to him. He had no explanation as to why his DNA had been found on a girl who'd been murdered 40 years earlier.
What can you tell me about your involvement in the murder of Janet Cummings in January 1976?
No comment.
So she's been vaginally raped, anally raped, and during the course of that, she's also suffered suffocation around the face and neck. And certainly those injuries that I've specified to you indicate that. Okay? Now, taking into account all those injuries and the cause of death, Stephen, are you responsible for those injuries?
No comment.
Do you understand what I'm saying to you there in respect to those injuries?
I do.
Okay. Are you responsible for those injuries?
No comment.
Mouth swab is taken from you. Okay? That swab is loaded onto the DNA database. That swab is a full hit on the semen cell stain from Janet Cummings' trousers in 1976. Now, if you fully understand what I'm saying, if you want me to explain it, I'll explain to you. So, Stephen, please explain how your semen is on Janet Cummings' trousers.
No comment.
What reason would there be for that semen stain to be on her trousers?
No comment.
Is there any explanation that you can give me at this time? Are you willing to give an explanation?
No comment.
On September 5th, 2016, Stephen Huff was arrested on suspicion of the 1976 rape and murder of Janet Cummings, and he pleaded not guilty in early March 2017. Although Janet's father had since died, her mother was still living and described the identification of a new suspect in her daughter's murder as, quote, a bombshell. At Huff's trial in 2017, Noel Jones testified about the time he spent in prison, and the prosecutor said that Jones, quote, never challenged the circumstances of conviction, but he asserts that he always knew he was innocent, and he only confessed due to the pressure that he felt placed upon him at the time. As it turned out, 3 DNA profiles had been extracted from swabs collected from Janet's body. One was presumably hers. One was later linked to Stephen Huff, and one has never been attributed to anyone, although that sample was of such a low level that its existence could have been, quote, an artifact of the DNA process itself, or the product of contamination from someone who handled the sample. On July 17, 2017, Stephen Huff was sentenced to 12 years in prison at the age of 58. For a crime that DNA linked him to 40 years after it was committed. Found guilty of rape, serious sexual assault, and the lesser charge of manslaughter, Huff maintained his innocence. He did, however, plead guilty to sexual assault of a child under 16 for the attack that put his DNA into the database, and received 3 additional years added onto his sentence. Janet's uncle Derek read from a prepared statement outside the courthouse following Huff's guilty verdict, saying, quote, "It's so galling to think that the person who so maliciously and violently took Janet's life has been living in our community for all these years. The difficulty for the family is that he's had a life, been married and had children. But he stole Janet's future and took away the opportunity for the family to see Janet grow up, get married, and have her own children. Today's verdict cannot bring Janet back to us, but hopefully the weeks and months to come will provide us with some closure." Following Huff's conviction, Operation Willow commenced and was completed in September 2018 after the North Wales Police referred the case to an outside organization called the Independent Police Complaints Commission. The investigation looked, quote, into the conduct of officers from North Wales Police and other forces during a 1976 murder investigation and into subsequent decisions that were made about the case following advances in forensic technology. It was conducted by the IOPC, the Independent Office for Police Conduct, and looked at the search for Janet's killer to determine if anyone had screwed up along the way. All of the officers who had interviewed Noel Jones back in 1976 were interviewed, as were those who worked on the case after it was closed. Jones had made allegations toward the original officers when testifying in Huff's trial, allegations like he was arrested for being a, quote, gypsy, that he was denied food and drink, kept from using the phone, and that he was kept in custody for 2 days without his family being notified. Jones also alleged that his signed confessions were useless, as he was fed the information and was unable to read or write at the time. No video or audio had been made of his interrogations. The final report reiterated that Jones had been arrested because his girlfriend had told a friend that he had confessed to her, though, quote, it became clear through forensic analysis that there was nothing to link Noel Jones to this case. Although he described the crime in detail while emotional, and even asked her to provide him with an alibi for January 7th, Jones later told her and the police that he'd only been joking around with her. And since 40-plus years had transpired since the incidents in question, the IOPC reporter noted, quote, gaps in his recollection and deduced that the very existence of these gaps caused him to take the entirety of the allegations less seriously. Not only that, but although Jones had claimed mistreatment at the hands of the officers who had questioned him, he had never directly accused any specific officer of any specific offenses. All of Jones' allegations were investigated during Operation Willow, and none of the claims were able to be verified, mostly due simply to the passage of time. None of the officers' actions were found to be misconduct. The results were released publicly in March 2019, just months after Noel Jones was cleared of being Janet's murderer. The 61-year-old Jones filed an appeal on his conviction after Huff was sent to prison, and the Court of Appeals determined that a, quote, serious injustice had been done to him, and he was, quote, wholly exonerated from involvement in this terrible case. The Commons family agreed with the appeals court decision and stated that Noel Jones had, quote, suffered as much as us since 1976. Speaking after his exoneration was announced, Jones said, quote, I served my sentence and tried to rebuild my life, not believing that there was any chance of ever proving I was innocent. Living in prison for 6 years as a child rapist and killer was difficult and dangerous, but when I was released, I tried to restart my life despite what was said about me. While reinstating my life was a great struggle, as the friends and community I had known would not have anything to do with me, I did find some sense of family life. On the other hand, the life of Janet Commons ended at 15, and I understand the continued pain and distress suffered by her family. I was very upset and touched by the thoughts of the Commons family in their victim personal statement read to the court and at the end of the Stephen Huff case. That referred to their concern for me, and I thank them personally for wishing to reach out to me after the conviction of Huff. Confirmation for everyone to hear that my conviction for these horrible crimes is no more, together with the knowledge that the person who did end Janet's life is in prison, is a great comfort.